Going to have the reading now from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he has determined.
Thank you, Nikki. Do keep your Bibles open. We're going to look at that passage as well as referring to some other passages about the Holy Spirit in today's talk. But first, you may have noticed there was quite a big wedding this week. The build-up to this wedding was somewhat tumultuous. There were some ups and downs. There was a lot of speculation about who might perform certain roles at this wedding. Now, I'm, of course, talking about Amy and Sheldon. From the Big Bang Theory, getting a little bit of response from over there. Everyone else is like, what, who, eh? So they got married on Thursday, at least for UK viewers. There was this other couple, I don't really know who they are. Yeah, apparently they got married as well. But weddings can be very memorable times, can't they? And I was reminded of a wedding that I went to when I was about 20, 21 years old, one of the first ones I'd really been to as an adult, which was one of the pastors, one of the assistant pastors from the church that I was part of when I was a student. And as the service was going on, like my mind was sort of wandering around a bit. And all of a sudden, like, as they were talking about marriage, and particularly about the way that God would be part of this couple's marriage, because they were both Christians, I started getting this thinking, well, it's a little bit like the bits of rope, isn't it? Like, if you have two pieces of rope and you just wrap them around, then it's very easy for them to become unwrapped if they're just a spiral. But if you had three bits of rope, well, you could kind of weave them together, and it would be much harder to pull those bits of rope apart. So I had this picture just during the service, and in the church I'd been part of before, I'd heard of people having words of knowledge or words of wisdom, but I'd never really experienced anything like that myself. So I thought, well, I could just keep it to myself, but actually I won't bother them right now because they're a bit, you know, distracted by the wedding, but I'll write them a little letter. So I wrote them a letter after the service, and so I just had this image came to mind. I don't know if that's something that you would find encouraging. And the chap got back to me a couple of weeks later, and he's like, David, you do know that this is an image that's in the Bible as well? I was like, oh, really? Well, that's good. So not only was he hopefully encouraged by it, but it really encouraged me that actually God could give me pictures, could give me words, give me prophecies, if people call them different things. And then actually this wouldn't be something completely crazy, it wouldn't be something that was completely contrary to what I knew God had said in the Bible. And actually Jesus says exactly the same when he speaks to disciples in John. He says, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So we can be quite confident that, I hope you'll see by the end of this talk, that God does speak in different ways, different manifestations of the Spirit. But these are not going to be completely contrary to what we know. God is true to himself. He is true to his existing revelation. And since then, I've had various prophecies, pictures, words, whatever you want to call them. And I've been very privileged to be part of God's work in that way. Now, in the first half, we heard about the story of Pentecost, when the early disciples received the Spirit for the first time. And we read various of these passages. But I'd just like to point out a really key word that jumps out to me. So some parts of the Bible, I think the word but is very exciting. Not especially here, but like, but now a new gospel message has come. Well, the word and, I think, is very important in these passages. So just look at that Acts chapter 1, when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit coming to his disciples, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on me, you, and you will be my witnesses." And then when they actually received the Spirit of Pentecost, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And they began to speak in other tongues. And this was amazing. People were astounded. But what was the purpose of them receiving the Spirit? Okay, it built them up. Okay, it was a great encouragement and a confidence booster for them. But the immediate purpose was so they could get out there and start preaching the good news about Jesus. And we'll see with all of the gifts that God gives us, they are for a purpose. And that purpose is primarily to bless others, to proclaim Jesus and to share the good news about his death, about his resurrection, about life with him. So we're going to look at spiritual gifts in four different areas. We're going to look at how spiritual gifts are from God. That might seem a bit obvious, but we'll just look at some passages about that from God the Spirit. And they are also to all believers. I think the Bible says that very clearly. All believers have the Spirit. All believers have spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are for the benefit of others. They can come in many forms, and we'll look at some of the ones that are listed in the New Testament. And then finally, we'll look a little bit about how we might use them. Although I would say that Illuminate this evening at 7 o'clock is going to be a continuation of this theme, and there'll be a bit more space there to explore and even to practice different gifts in that environment. So do come along to that. It's a great service to be part of, and hopefully we'll follow on very naturally from this morning. So firstly, spiritual gifts are from God the Spirit. If you remind yourself of the verses we just had, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. God is true to himself. God acts consistently with his character. And all true spiritual gifts are from God. But notice also in that passage, the other all that appears, in all the gifts and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And we also see that in Romans chapter 12, which is another key passage. Just as each of us has one body with many members, many different parts, and these parts do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And Paul uses this metaphor, the body, in the next part of 1 Corinthians 12. He says, well, it's like a body. And you would expect a body to have different components that are all working together. They're all united. And one thing that is going to be explored a bit more this evening, I think, is how spiritual gifts unite us or should unite us. And there's no point having a body with 16 hands and no feet, because you wouldn't really be able to get anywhere, would you? There's no point having 100 ears and no mouth. Each part of the body needs each other part. We all need each other. But everyone is part of that body. And if everyone has gifts, then everyone can contribute and can build up the body. So spiritual gifts are not just for older Christians. They're not just for Christians that have reached a certain level of maturity, who've passed some sort of second test or a level of attainment that means that they're qualified. None of us are qualified to receive things from God. But spiritual gifts are for all Christians. Peter quotes Joel, the prophet, as we heard in our multilingual recounting of that story in the first half. And Joel says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, on young men, on old men, on men and women. So spiritual gifts are from God the Spirit, and they are to all believers. Secondly, these gifts are for the benefit of others. If you look down again to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, you'll see to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. The one who prophesies edifies the church. So prophecy and many other gifts are there to build up, to edify the church. What does it mean to edify? Well, it encompasses expressing, celebrating, proclaiming Jesus in all the many ways that we can do that. Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. This is 1 Peter chapter 4. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians, Paul talks about gifts equipping people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So spiritual gifts are for the benefit of others. They may build us up as well. But as Rachie was saying last week, they're not just presents that we receive. Well, that's nice for me. But actually they are opportunities, responsibilities to bless others and to build up the church as a whole. Now, this cartoon on the right is a bit of a classic. I used to like Gary Larson. Now, not everyone who is gifted has a spiritual gift. You can see this poor chap on the right. Clearly, someone thinks he's gifted, but something has not quite come together. He's trying to push this door with all his worth, whereas the door says pull, if you can read that. So he might not quite be eligible for this school for the gifted. But it can be confusing, and we had a few discussions in our home group a few weeks ago. Well, how do we understand spiritual gifts? Is it like lots of people are good at stuff? Is that the same as a spiritual gift? Well, I don't think we can say that, because lots of people who aren't followers of Jesus can be gifted in different areas, in particular subjects at school, or in particular abilities or talents that they can use in their lives. And actually, remarkably, God can use people almost in spite of their lack of a particular ability. I've certainly come across people who God has worked through incredibly powerfully, who you wouldn't necessarily expect to. Me, for one. I mean, I'm sometimes surprised when God works through me, and I shouldn't really be. But God can work through everyone. And I think rather than trying to do it the way around of saying, oh, that person is particularly good at this, or maybe that God has gifted them, maybe they have a spiritual gift, I think we should do it the other way around. Wayne Grudem defines a spiritual gift as any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. So we don't necessarily benchmark spiritual gifts against the individual's talent, but against how much God has blessed others through that person. And that means that sometimes, if we're trying to think about what gifts we might have, it can be easier to ask others than to try and do that for ourselves. I'll give you an example of that in a minute, but I think it can be more obvious what other people are blessed through, what things they've blessed you through, than necessarily trying to look at yourself and say, well, what am I good at? Am I good at this gift? Am I good at that gift? And God can use us in spite of our background, in spite of our abilities. If we truly believe that God gives gifts to all Christians, then it can't depend on attainment or maturity or effort. God can bless whoever he chooses to bless. Now, we can move too far the other way. It's not that we're just puppets and that God suddenly grasps hold of us and we're like, right, I'm going to use you for this gift and I will take control of you like some kind of puppet master. So Paul, when he speaks to Timothy, he reminds him to fan into flame the gift of God that is within you. And actually, if we neglect our gifts, if we oppose the gifts that God has given us, then we can aid them to dwindle. They can fade away. We used to sing a song when I was a kid about having gifts, and then you use it, it'll grow into a tall, tall tree and join the forest of trees so free. Use it, don't let it fade away. So we do have a responsibility to keep using gifts that we've been able to bless people with in the past. And of course, we can ask God. Remember the story that Jesus said about the loving Father who loves to give his children good gifts. And if that's true of an earthly father to a greater or lesser extent, how much more is it true of God, our Heavenly Father, who loves to bless us? And so we can ask and receive. We can ask for more. But if we don't use them, then they will fade away. And if we don't provide opportunities to use them, then they will fade away. Now, thirdly, gifts can come in many forms. You may not be able to read all these, but these are all the passages that talk about different gifts. So on the top left, we've got 1 Corinthians 12, which is what we read here. There's also later in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and briefer mentions in other parts of 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter. Now, even from these lists, there are a lot of different ones listed. And I think the take-home message is that actually none of these lists are complete. If Paul had mentioned the same list every single time, the same list of five, then I think we could say, okay, these are the only ones there are, and we'll take some conclusions from that. But the fact that he doesn't, the fact that even in the same chapter, pretty much, he puts them in a different order, he picks out some that aren't in the first list and some that are in the second list, there's no indication that there's a hierarchy. There's no indication that, these gifts are really kind of amazing and supernatural, and these gifts are kind of a bit ordinary and just plain old natural. Actually, all spiritual gifts are spiritual. They may include abilities which can appear natural. They may include abilities which can appear less common. But they're all just put together, aren't they? Peter talks about some relating to those who speak, some about giving service, but there's no hard and fast distinctions, really. The other thing I think we can take from these lists is that we wouldn't expect one person to have all of them. And if we take the body analogy, if we're all part of a body, we wouldn't expect one person to be the entire body and everyone else is sort of like a toenail. Actually, we're going to be distributed around quite evenly. So not all of us will have every gift. Not all of us will have one particular gift. Paul brings that out in one of his passages. He says, do all prophesy? And the implication is, no. Do all speak in tongues? No. But actually some will. And one of the encouragements from the survey that we heard reported last week is that actually of all the... So that asked about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. There were at least a handful of people for every one of those gifts listed who professed to have used them to a greater or lesser extent. So in this room, potentially, or in our the fuller body, we are demonstrating these gifts. We do have people who are gifted in all these ways. Not everyone has the same gifts, and actually we can even be challenged that I guess we were not everyone will display the same gift in the same way. And they may not display it in a way that we're used to or a way that we're necessarily comfortable with. But that's okay. As long as we're all part of the body, as long as we're all working to build up the body, then we can embrace differences. You may have wondered why I had this picture at the beginning. So when we make ice, when we freeze water, we make ice cubes, which are boring and square and rectangular and cuboid, whatever you want to say. When God designed ice creation, he made snowflakes. And if you magnify snowflakes, this is one little image, not only are they amazingly beautiful, I think, but they're all different. They all have similar features, potentially, but they're all different. And so it is with us. We would expect an amazing variety of people in a healthy church, and we've talked about that a bit in the past in different sermons. Sometimes people can be a bit different to us, and sometimes that can be a challenge. But actually, in terms of use of spiritual gifts and spirituality, we're all different, and we're all going to have different things to bring to the community. So I talked a little bit about when I realized I had the gift of prophecy. Let me give you another example. So I also believe I have the gift of encouragement. But it took a while for me to realize this, because people would come up and say, that was very encouraging. And you know the British thing in you would say, there's nothing, maybe some of you are less British than others, but that was definitely my natural response. And you either downplay it because you think, I don't want to be proud about this, you know, or maybe they're just saying that, I'm not that great really. But actually, when enough people say it, you think, maybe this is true. And actually, it's not just something to puff me up. This is a responsibility. With power comes responsibility. And actually, I think Rachel hit the nail on the head last week. These aren't just gifts as in presents that we take home and just play with for ourselves. These are tools. These are ways that we can really help each other. So I tried to, when I went to the nursery groups with Deborah, to start with, I would just sort of follow her around, like the kind of slightly paranoid parents that she'd fall over. But once I realised she wasn't going to fall over, I was like, actually, I can talk to the other children as well. I can encourage them. Why don't I encourage them at the same time? Why don't I chat to the other parents? And those opportunities do arise when you think, okay, Lord, how can you use me in different situations? Not just when we're in this building, but all around the place. Whatever you're doing during the week, God can use your gifts in different ways. So finally, let's just think a little bit about some good principles on how to use gifts. So the passage that I find most helpful is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So Paul is talking about life in the church, and he's getting towards the end of the letter, so he starts going into this sort of rapid fire reminder of all the things that I want to tell you very, very quickly. So he gets quite short in his sentences. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We could have a whole sermon about that verse, but we'll maybe leave that for another day. And then he says, do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Okay. But test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. And I think he really captures the two sides to how we use spiritual gifts. So we should expect them. We shouldn't just assume that they're not going to happen, or that if something happens that we're not quite comfortable with, that that's not from God. We should expect that God will work in power in his church, like he has done since forever. But also we're told to inspect them. Don't just take everything as read. Test them all, hold on to what is good. And there are a few different principles that we can use for that. Obviously, we can test them against Scripture. God will be true to himself. We can ask others. Do other people think? So often if someone has a word they'd like to bring, then they will come to the service leader and say, oh, does this seem reasonable? Or if you're offering something to another person, you'll say, well, I've had this word, or whatever you call it. I'm not sure if this is for you. I don't know if that will resonate with you. But actually, I'm going to offer it, and then that person can take it on or not as they see fit. It will glorify Jesus as Lord. It will be in line with the fruits of the Spirit. It will be loving and humble. In coming back to weddings, so 1 Corinthians 13 is often used as a passage at weddings, but it's actually right in the middle of a passage all about using spiritual gifts. And I think Paul's point is that if you're not doing things in a loving way, then you're just an empty symbol, you're just a clanging gong. God is love, and if we're not acting in love, then the whole thing falls apart. And he also has some things to say about it in an orderly manner. This is not going to be crazy and wild necessarily, it might be. But actually there are principles that we can use to inspect when people are using their gifts and to do so in an orderly way. But equally we should expect them. There we go. So we've seen that spiritual gifts are from God the Spirit, that all believers have them, that all believers can ask for more. They are for the benefit of others, not just ourselves. They can come in many forms. And that actually we should use them. The challenge from these passages is to respond to God's calling, to eagerly seek his gifts, to discover more of them, and to use them more and more to bless others. Amen.
We're going to have a little time of reflection and response to that. Let's just pray. God our Father, we thank you for speaking to us now. We would like to pray for all those people who desire new gifts, who have a desire for a particular gift, so that they can bless those around them. Lord, would you fill those people with your Spirit and empower them with those gifts? We thank you that the power that is available to us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. and that we can go out in power and strength to serve you with love. Now, I'd like to invite anybody who feels they have something that they would like to share with the church in encouragement to come up and just tell us if you've had a picture, you've had a word that is for all of us to encourage us, something that is good to encourage us.
Okay, so when we were just in meditation and contemplation, I just had a picture of a cup that was actually put on a shelf, a high shelf. And what I just felt the Lord is saying to us is, there's for some of us here, what we've done is we've disqualified ourselves from being used because we don't think we either have the gifts or we don't think we've got the right status or we haven't got the right abilities or, you know, whatever reason, and we've put ourselves on the side. And I just really felt God wanting to take that cup, clean it up again, and put it to use.
Sense that the Lord had given me some scriptures that follow exactly on from what John has just shared. So let me just read these to you. Words of Jesus from Luke chapter 6. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's God's promise to us today.
Again, it's kind of on a really, really similar theme, and to both what John and Chris were saying, I kind of got a bit of a slightly graphic picture of like God drawing stuff out of us, and I felt like he was saying, like, he is infinite, he is, you know, he is without capacity, but as humans we have capacity, we have a limit and a capacity, and if like our, whatever our space is, and we're talking in Illuminate about expanding our space, if that's filled with things that aren't of him, if that's filled with whatever that is, like hurt, resentment, unforgiveness, you know, any number of things that it could be filled with, that kind of limits the space that's left for God's gifts. And it's not that he's unwilling, you know, and the other kind of flip side of that is God wants to take those things from us. He wants us to give them to him, and he will take them away, thus kind of leaving more space for him to fill us with his gifts.
So just in the same theme, so my picture was more of a wall made of brick or stone, but actually that wall coming, crashing down, strongholds come tumbling down, that kind of thing. And I think that's along the lines of maybe there's something that, possibly for some people here, that you feel there's something that's in the way, something that's holding you back, something that's stopping you from experiencing, or something that's stopping you from taking on more of God. And maybe that's something that's been there for a while. You think, oh, I could never do that. But actually, Joshua and the people of Israel, they walked around Jericho and they just blew some horns, but God knocked those walls down. He destroyed those walls completely. And God is able to destroy the walls in your life as well. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.